Daddy's arms weren't reaching out. You can rest assured and be secure. God is moving right now. Stand still. Let God move. Standing still is hard to do when you feel you have.
Of a mansion, and we all are looking forward to our mansion in heaven when the Lord calls us home. If he doesn't, I call us all into rapture, which either way, we're going to have our mansion in heaven. And we'll do this one for you, thinking of a mansion.
That fill my morning as the sun begins to shine. Loving vision of my homeland, I'm getting closer. Oh, and I'm thinking of a mansion, and I'm dreaming of a home. There'll be endless celebration, and I'm thinking
there'll be endless I'm going to try to sing Calvary's the Reason Why. I was lost, but you knew where to find me. I was hungry, you were bread for my soul. I was thirsty, and you gave me living water. You were my shelter when I had no place to go. That's why sometimes I just want to praise you. Sometimes just to speak your name. I just want to thank you. Without asking you for a thing, sometimes I lift my hands to you, and sometimes all I do is cry. Everything that I have, I owe to you. Lord, in Calvary, the reason why. When I think of the love that you're giving, oh Lord, when I think of the price you paid for me, and these trials here on earth, they just seem like nothing when they're compared to dark Calvary. That's why sometimes I just want to praise you. Sometimes just to speak your name. Sometimes I just want to thank you. Without asking you for a thing, sometimes I lift my hands to you, and sometimes all I do is cry. Everything that I have, I owe to you. Lord, in Calvary, the reason why. That's why sometimes I just want to pray. I just want to thank you without asking you for a thing. Sometimes I lift my hands to you, and sometimes Lord, in Calvary, the reason why. We thank you for letting us come and sing for you.
Really appreciate that, Grady and Brenda. Is beautiful, and you are welcome to come anytime and share with us in music. Three beautiful songs, and you know they keep our minds. They help to keep our minds on heaven. As Brenda shared, you know, we could go home the way Miss Elizabeth did last week. We could go home by the corridor of death, or we could go home by way of the rapture. And either one could take place any time. We need to be ready to go. We need to be prayed up and packed up and ready to go. I trust that you are this morning. We appreciate Grady and Brenda for coming and sharing with us. And bless your heart, as I say, anytime. You call me and you say you're ready, we're ready. Okay? Amen. Yes, Billy. Amen. Thank you, Billy. This morning, if you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, as we look out and we see all that's going on in the world, Christians are apt to get to the point to get to thinking, well, the rapture of the church is going to take place any time. And you know, I believe that in my heart. I really believe that this generation, the generation that's living today, you and I will see the rapture of the church. Now, maybe not myself personally, but I may go home by way of death, or And I may not be in the rapture, but I believe in my life, this generation is going to see that come to pass. Just too many things happening to ignore. Let me tell you this morning. Let me just say this morning: if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never made a commitment to Him, you are running out of time. It's like you're playing Russian roulette with every day that you let go by. The Lord grants you compassionately and mercifully. You know, He's given you every day. You're breathing. The air you're breathing right now is a gift from God. It is. It's a gift from God. And if you've not made a commitment to Him, you need to make it today, so that if in fact the rapture takes place this afternoon or tomorrow or whatever, you'll be ready to go. The Bible says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Two ministers this week on the Fox Television News program, Day Watch. Maybe some of you don't get a chance to watch that. I watch Fox News quite a bit, and they keep abreast of what's going on in the world. I can trust them to give both sides of the story. You know, there's some news networks today that are caught up, and they have an agenda. I really believe they've got an agenda. They've got a fixed direction that they want. They want to go in, and they want to take their listening audience in that direction. And so you can listen, as you listen to some of the major news networks, you don't have to listen to them long before you realize that they are focusing on one thing. They're either for America, or it seems like they're against America. They're against everything that's going on in America that the current administration is doing, and so forth. But I watch Fox News Network because I think they're impartial. I think that they bring a balanced report. But two ministers this week on the Fox television news program Day Watch, commenting on world affairs and the Bible, were asked if they believe Christ was coming soon. Now, this was really exciting to this pastor, because seldom do you watch a secular program and you're able to hear a secular program keep on the air, keep the cameras rolling, and keep the TV picture on while somebody's going to be talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Those events are few and far between today. But these two ministers were asked if they believed Christ was coming soon. And listen, they both replied in the positive. They both replied in the positive, but listen to what one of them said. He said, "It's not for us to know the exact time of Christ's return." And that's true. "But the world events as we see them today are troubling and would strongly encourage us to plead with the unbeliever to make a decision for Christ Jesus before the time, whenever it comes, runs out." Wasn't that bold? By the way, that was a Catholic priest. And also a Baptist priest was there, and he also chimed right in. In fact, I believe it was, I'd like to say it was a Baptist priest that made the comment about getting right with the Lord Jesus before that, but I can't remember exactly. What I was doing was praising and excited about the very fact that they were sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. One of these ministers was a Baptist and the other was a Catholic, and both gave strong testimony to the need for people to find Christ before it's everlasting too late. And to me, this appealed to the viewing audience in studio and at home on behalf of Christ over a secular news network was surprising, and to say the least for me, was very exciting. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm going to share with you this morning from verses 1 through 11. Paul's telling the church, the church at Thessalonica was concerned about many things. One of those things that the church was concerned about was the fact that if in fact the Lord's coming, or if in fact the kingdom of God is coming and all their relatives had passed away, how were they going to be able to participate in the kingdom of God? How were they going to be a part of the kingdom of God if they'd already died? And so Paul wrote them in his response to this, but their particular letter to him. He wrote to them about how one of these days God's gonna, the sky's going to split, the rapture of the church is going to take place, and the Lord Jesus is going to bring the dead in Christ out of the graves first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. Our brothers and sisters whose bodies are now resting in the graves, their spirits with the Lord, when the rapture of the church takes place, when God sounds at the trumpet, the dead in Christ are coming out of those graves. They're going to be joined back to their spirits. And then you and I too, in a split second, in just a moment of time, we also are going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And so Paul said, comfort yourselves, comfort one another with these thoughts. Well, one of the other questions was too, the Thessalonians thought that they were already in the midst of the Great Tribulation period. They were going through some terrible things. They were going through some terrible things. And so Paul also addressed the fact that that they were not yet going. The Great Tribulation period had not come. They had not missed the rapture of the church, and that they could just hold on and just press on. And as far as when God was coming back, that's not it. That's not the important thing. Don't be looking for. Don't be sitting off the side of the playing field, looking up and wondering when Christ is going to come again. these people in that television audience. Why, the first thing they wanted to know was, is Christ coming again? Do you think Christ is coming again? Well, let me tell you this. Without a doubt in my heart, I know He's coming again. By faith, I know He's coming again. And it's not my job to sit around and anticipate the hour. The day and the hour that He's coming. My job and your job is to share the good news of Jesus Christ with our next door neighbor, with those who don't know the Lord as their personal Savior. That's what God calls us to do. That's what God calls us to do. And you know, in our Sunday school program this morning, in the Sunday school message this morning, as Charlie was sharing with us, and certainly you had in your Sunday school with the same program, the same message. You know, how in the world is the world going to be drawn to the Christian, to the Lord Jesus Christ, if the Christian has no love? If the Christian has all the knowledge about the gospel, has all the knowledge about the scriptures, has all the knowledge about everything in the world, and even has a gift here and a gift there, if those gifts aren't administered in love, who in the world wants to talk to you from outside the church? My goodness, we need to be loving people. We need to be loving people. But as I shared this morning in our Sunday school class, and as Charlie also shared, the love that we have for others is not something that we as an individual can do on our own. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives to do that. The Holy Spirit living in your life will make you a loving person. The Holy Spirit in your life will convict you when you're walking down a path that you don't need to be walking down. And you need to listen to the moving of the Holy Spirit and the message of the Holy Spirit in your life. But the Holy Spirit is what gives us love, and if the world's going to hear your testimony, they want to see some kind of semblance of love coming out of your life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a what? A thief in the night. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to come and to fellowship, Father. I thank you for Brendan Grady coming, Father. We pray for Grady, Father. We know his physical health is not good. And so, Lord, we just lift him up to you right now in the precious name of Jesus and ask you to minister to his body. Touch him, Father, from his crown of his head to the sole of his feet, and restore him, Father, that he might continue to move on with his lovely wife, Brenda, and minister, and just to sing the songs of salvation and deliverance, Father, and the songs of the Lord Jesus Christ, as even until the rapture of the church takes place, Father. We ask your blessing upon them. And then, Father, this morning, too, for each and every one that's come this way, Father, we thank you for allowing them to come. Father, we thank you for giving them one more day. Father, help Christians to realize that every day they're given is another day that they have an opportunity to bring honor and glory to their Savior by sharing, by showing that love of the Lord Jesus Christ with others who may not know you as their Lord and Savior. And then too, Father, there may be some here this morning that have never made a commitment to Christ. They come to church, been to church. Wow, they've visited many, many, many a church, and yet they've never made that personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one thing to say you're a Christian because you're on the roll of this church or that church, Father. It's quite another too to say, likewise, Father, it's easy to say you're a Christian because you give to this organization or you give to that organization. But Father, until that person comes into a personal relationship, gives their heart, opens their heart to you, and allows that Holy Spirit to come in, all of their works will be nothing but filthy rags unless they come and they make a commitment to your Son, who shed his blood on Calvary's cross that the door of eternal life might be opened up and that we might come home to be with you eternally. So, Father, this morning we pray for the lost, Father, that one that's furthest from thee. We ask your blessing. Allow the Holy Spirit to move. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If anything, the urgency of the day for the Christian is not to be looking up. But I don't mean to say not to be looking up. Every day we ought to be looking up to the Lord Jesus and serving. The important thing today is as we see what's going on in the world, we need to be witnessing. We need to be sharing. We need to be reaching out to loved ones. And not just to loved ones, but to everybody, just about everybody we come in contact with. And I don't mean going to beat them over the head with the Bible. Because I can tell you this, I can slap this Bible on this pulpit all day long. And it's not going to do one thing until such time as I communicate what is in this Bible and what the loving God of this Bible has, the compassionate, merciful, forgiving, long-suffering God of this Bible has to say to those that don't know Him as a personal Savior. But the urgency of the hour is that we minister and we live lives that are reflective of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Thessalonians were going through desperate times, sad times, miserable times, persecuting times. And it says again in verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. In 1818, a Baptist minister by the name of William Miller in Loehampton, New York, confidently taught that in about 25 years, which would have been 1843, Jesus Christ would come again. That's what he taught. He had it down pat. In 1843, now he said this in 1818, but he was looking down the road and he says, you know, Jesus is coming in 1843. And listen to what he said. I was thus brought in 1818, at the close of my 2-year study of the Scriptures, to the solemn conclusion that in about 25 years from that time, all the affairs of our present state will be wound up. He further wrote, I believe the time can be known by all who desire to understand and to be ready for His coming. And I am fully convinced that sometime between March the 21st, 1843 and March the 21st, 1844, according to the Jewish mode of computation of time, Christ will come and bring all of His saints with Him, and then He will reward every man as his works shall be. This comes from an article written by Francis Nicol in the Washington, D.C. Review and Herald in 1844. And the article, it was entitled The Midnight Cry. William Miller, Pastor William Miller, gained a great following after sharing that prophecy. People were getting ready for the Lord's return. The Millerites, as they were called, many of them sold all their belongings, purchased white robes, and ascended a nearby mountain to await the Lord's return. And guess what? What do you think happened in 1843? Well, the day went on. The day went on, and the Lord didn't come. The Lord didn't come. October the 26th, 1844. The second date was established by Miller. He figured, well, if it's not 43, it must be 44. And so the group was devastated when 1843 came and the Lord Jesus didn't come. But reluctantly, Pastor Miller endorsed a second date of October the 22nd, 1844. But it too came and went without the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Josiah Leach, a Millerite leader in Philadelphia, wrote on the evening of October the 26, 1844, he said this, "It is a cloudy and dark day here. The sheep are scattered. The Lord has not come." Now let me tell you something. These people went out and sold everything they had. Bought themselves white robes and went out and believed this pastor that the date that he had prophesied was correct. William Miller's great following was now emotionally and spiritually devastated. They split off into four different Advent groups, of which one of them became today's Seventh-day Adventist Church. And why were they emotionally and spiritually devastated? Because they didn't believe the Word of God, or they were terribly ignorant of the Word of God. They should have been working, but instead they were waiting. They should have been working, instead they were waiting. Instead of believing the Word of God, instead of Pastor Miller preaching the Word of God and sticking with the Word of God, he went into prophecy and he led people to a devastating end. Many today are speculating of the time of Christ's coming, and yet Paul says the Lord's coming will be like a thief in the night. Why would they know? Now listen, look at verse 2. For yourselves, Paul says, know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Why would they know that perfectly? Well, because God told them that. God's Word tells us that. And Christ and the Lord Jesus told His disciples that. In Matthew 24:36, it says, "But of that day," Jesus speaking, "but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And this has been part of the ministry, part of the preaching of Paul. In Mark chapter 13, the Lord Jesus says, "Take heed and watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch." And by the way, that's what you and I are called to do, is to watch and also to make ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." And before he ascended into heaven, listen to the last thing that Christ shared with his disciples. In Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11, it says, "When they therefore were come together, his disciples, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Do you see how that moves out? Do you see how that moves out? You will be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and then on out into Judea and into Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know what that tells me? That tells me that if we're going to begin sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in this world, we need to begin in our home. We need to begin in our home. If our home understands the love and the blessings and the good news of Jesus Christ, and our home is saved, well, that's just going to spread right out into our community. And if our community comes to know it, then maybe our city will come to know it as well. So many times, I've told you this before, groups go up on Capitol Hill and they stand up there and they spend a day praising the Lord, which is wonderful, and making their speeches and so forth. But many of those people come right back home and they go right back to their routine daily business. I tell you what, if you're busy about the Lord Jesus Christ, don't worry about Capitol Hill. Worry about your community. Worry about the people you work with. Worry about people that you come in contact with every day. Do they know the Lord Jesus? Right there's your ministry. Right there's your mission field. Jesus said, But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had thus spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Well, the Lord Jesus just started ascending, physically in bodily form, by the way, not in spirit. You know, they stood there and they watched him. If they could have jumped up and grabbed hold of his foot, they'd have grabbed hold of his foot. He ascended physically into glory. And they're standing there looking. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. That's pretty clear, isn't it? That's pretty clear. Wonder if there's anybody here this morning that would like to prophesy or like to predict when the Lord Jesus is coming back. Three times Christ warned his disciples not to get caught up in trying to figure out the times and the seasons for his return, because only his Father in heaven knows that time. And if you're a good student of the Word of God, you will listen to the Word of God and be satisfied with what the Lord Jesus has to say about the coming, his second coming. Verse 3 says, For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The world is not going to be looking for the day of Christ, the rapture of the church. They instead will be happy with the status quo. The world is happy with the status quo today. The world really would like to have somebody come and just put together a peace compact so that Israel and the Muslims and the Christians and everybody could get along and be happy and just be a wonderful, peaceful world. But let me tell you this. No man is ever going to be able to do that. Oh, well, let me tell you, the Antichrist is going to come. In fact, the world is ripe for the Antichrist today. Man, the one person that could step forward and say, you know, I got the answer to all these problems. I got the answer to all these problems. Well, I believe that right now, we probably know who he is. That's how close I believe we are to the rapture of the church. I believe it's possible for the church to know who the Antichrist is probably even before the rapture of the church. The world would like to have peace today, but they're perfectly, they don't want peace. They don't want the peace that the Lord Jesus can bring. And when the rapture of the church takes place, they'll still be here. And when the Lord comes to the earth the second time, it will be for judgment, and he will come to them like a thief in the night. Verse 4 says, But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. God's talking to you, Christians, this morning. Ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We ought to be alive with the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's saying. Our lamps ought to be burning and showing people the way to the Lord Jesus, more so today than even yesterday. In Romans 13, verses 12 through 14, Paul said this, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in clamoring and wantonness, not in strife and envying." You know, the biggest problem with the church today is within the midst of the church, you've got strife and bickering and pointing and accusing and all of this other stuff. I really believe, you know, that, and so help me, this week has been one of the hardest weeks, I believe. The last 2 weeks has been one of the hardest weeks for this pastor. Because I want you to know, we're waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that what we're waiting for? And we're trying to be good ministers of the gospel. And you know, I've got Christians in this very fellowship talking about each other, criticizing each other. They think in the dark, and yet they're doing it right in the midst of other people who hear them. And these other people who hear them you know what they do? They take that little information, they go and give it to that person that they're talking about. And you tell me, is that godly? Is that Christly? But I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll tear this church apart. Let me tell you something this morning. If you hear something that somebody says about somebody else, you keep it right here. You don't take it and give it to them. That's the worst possible thing you can do. And you who are running off at the mouth and talking about brothers, and you may be a leader of the church. You may be a leader of the church. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And you ought to go to that person that you criticized and you made jokes about, and you ought to tell them that you're sorry for that. Because I'll tell you that God's not going to work in this church as long as there's bickering and there's backbiting and cutting each other. That's not going to happen. This church family's come a long, long way. It's come a long way. And all it takes is just a few to start stirring it up. And let me tell you something. If it's the leadership of the church, it's going to spread like wildfire. Thank you. Is it not? I mean, the world today is in the shape it's in because of the leadership of this nation. And this church today ought to be actively serving the Lord Jesus Christ, which 85-95% of you are. But woe unto those who Satan has got your heart. You need to repent. You need to get right with the Lord Jesus Christ and go to that person that you've criticized, you're backbiting. First you need to take it to them, and then take it to the Lord. It's so sad. The last 2 weeks, I've heard one negative right after another negative. Has nothing to do with service to the Lord Jesus. Has nothing to do with service to the Lord Jesus. And listen, it's not killing that person either. They just got to have their say. You remember when Jesus stood before Herod? Herod mocked him. Herod made fun of him. You know what the Lord said to him? Nothing. Nothing. Because the Lord knew the truth. You know, we've often heard, if you can't say something good about somebody, can I be blunt? Keep your mouth shut. Take that to the Lord. So Paul says, and I realize time is gone. Paul says in Romans 13, let me read this to you. "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in clamoring and wantonness, not in strife and envying." He's talking about the church. "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." The church will not move ahead as long as the church family is wrapped up in those things. Christians should not be like the world, asleep. They should be up and moving on. Listen to this, and in closing. At the height of World War II, Protestant theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer was imprisoned for taking a stand against Hitler. Yet he continued to urge fellow believers to resist Nazi tyranny. A group of Christians believing that Hitler was the Antichrist asked Bonhoeffer, "Why do you expose yourself to all of this danger? Jesus will return any day, and all your work and suffering will be for nothing. You got that? Let me make that clear again. This is what they asked Bonhoeffer. A group of Christians believing that Hitler was the Antichrist asked Bonhoeffer, "Why do you expose yourself to all of this danger? Jesus will return any day, and all of your work and suffering will be for nothing." Bonhoeffer replied, "If Jesus returns tomorrow, then tomorrow I'll rest from my labor. But today I have work to do, and I must continue the struggle until it's finished." Days before the American forces overtook the area where Bonhoeffer was being held prisoner, just a few days before they overtook the prison camp where Bonhoeffer was being held, they took Bonhoeffer out, stripped him naked, and showed him a gallows. The Nazis did. They showed him a gallows in the middle of this prison yard. And they just wanted to see what Bonhoeffer would do. And you know what he did? Stripped naked, down to nothing. He saw those gallows and he walked right out to those gallows. The Nazis didn't take him. He walked right to those gallows. He walked right up on that platform. And he waited for the Nazis to come and do what they were going to do to him. And you know what they did? They hung him. Do you know the moment that neck broke, Bonhoeffer was present with the Lord Jesus. He's home forever. He'll never face a gallows again. And you and I, we should be ashamed of ourselves, shouldn't we? We should be ashamed of ourselves. We spend so much time talking about each other. What glory is Christ getting out of that? My goodness. Seek God's forgiveness. Repent and receive Christ and rededicate your heart to the Lord Jesus. And let's get on with whatever few days we may have, whatever few weeks. If you're here this morning and you never made a commitment to Christ, I plead with you this morning. You give your heart to Christ before it's everlasting too late. The Bible says if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Right? The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's done such a wonderful, marvelous thing for us. We could never do that. We could never go that way. We could have never done what Jesus did for us. And he's opened the door to eternal life. And he says, come home. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's what we want. Bonhoeffer wanted that. But he was going to work right up until the day Christ came. You and I need to be as adamant about that. Working for Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit ministers to us, Father, comforts us, gives us peace. Father, we see and hear and sometimes experience. Some sad things. But I ask your blessing upon this congregation. I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you to give praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name.